I stand before you this morning, Lord, just humbled, grateful, and blessed. Father, now I ask that you would only allow me to continue to decrease as you increase. Father, allow me to speak your word to your people, to give it to them as you has given it to me. Father, open up their hearts and their minds and just allow them to absorb this message, that it may touch them, move them in the way that you would have them to go. This is my prayer unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. First, giving honor to God, Pastor Pickett and his absence, my brothers and sisters of the clergy, deacons, leaders, family and friends. I always like to acknowledge my mother, as Sister Vivian Brown, and people, you know, I'm going to tell y'all how Karen Turner always pick on me when I'm, she say, I just don't know how your mama dealt with you. With all love, amen. Mama, raise your hand, wave your hand, let people know who you are. Y'all know I'm proud of my mama, amen. You know, the only time I got to be the boss is when I was her teacher in school. That didn't last too long, amen. Also like to acknowledge my Aunt Mary and Aunt Bessie. Whenever I'm preaching, y'all wave your hand. They always, I better call them and come. If I don't call them, they'll let me know it, amen. And, of course, my brother is my brother, Deacon Cunningham. He inched up 1 year closer to me. He's 54 and I'm 55, so he's still a baby. Amen. He don't like when I tell him that, but I do it anyway. Amen. And then, of course, my wife, my bride, I call her my prime rib. Y'all just don't know. Amen. And that's my wife, Issa. And I tell people, if you see her and you don't see me, y'all ask her where I'm at, because I better be close. Amen. Our scripture reading comes out of Acts 9, 7 through 20. What I want to do is I want to read verse 8, and then I'm going to drop down to verse 17 through 20. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there, 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drink. Then I'm going to go down to verse 17 through 20. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. You know, some weeks ago, Sister Stevens and I were sitting at home and watching Priscilla Shiver interview this young woman who had suffered a stroke. She was a model, and out of nowhere, she suffered a stroke, and the doctors had to remove part of her brain. So the stroke left her disfigured, her face a little disfigured, and she is in constant pain, as well as she's lost some use of her hands. She was in a wheelchair during the interview because she had trouble walking. And during her interview, she said something that touched me to the depth of my soul, and God would not let me rest until I wrote it down and started to prepare a sermon. Now, most of the time, as pastors, at least with me, when I'm scheduled to preach and I know far enough out, I'll start looking and praying and God to give me something. But God gave me this without a time to come up and preach. And so I wrote this down, and I wrote her words down, and this is what she said, and this is our theme. And this thing, brothers and sisters, this thing messed me up. She said, sometimes we have to be wounded in order to be healed. I want you to understand, she said, sometimes we have to be wounded in order to be healed. Well, first of all, it didn't make any sense to me when I thought about it. I said, well, I don't want to be wounded at all, because then some healing has to take place. But when I thought about that thing a little deeper, and God began to just talk to me about that thing, it made so much sense that sometimes we have to be wounded in order to be healed. Like I said, right, that right there messed me up. I could not understand why it resonated with me. I could not understand why it took such a hold of me. But what I did understand is that God had a message and he wanted me to deliver it. Sometimes we have to be wounded in order to be healed. Good Hope, this gonna preach this morning. It's a profound statement that has biblical truth. I will tell you, I preached this sermon the other day. I called my baby sister and I was telling her about it, and I went through just about the whole sermon. And then Sister Stevens and I were at dinner with some friends last night, and I was preaching it at the table. I'm excited about what God has for you. I have to tell you, I looked up the definition of the word wounded, and the online definition defines wound as an injury to living tissue caused by a cut, a blow, or other impact. Typically one in which the skin is cut or broken. You see, sometimes God must allow us to incur or to endure physical wounds in order for us to have spiritual healing. Let me say that again. Sometimes God must allow us to incur or to endure physical wounds in order for us to have spiritual healing. Look, there are also emotional wounds. They may not break the skin, but they do break your heart and your mental spirit. Sometimes we rather have a physical wound instead of an emotional wound, because with a physical wound, the bleeding stops. But with the emotional or psychological wound, the heart still hurts. Amen, somebody. No matter whether the wound is physical or emotional, there is still pain in both. Pain is designed to let us know that something is going on out of the normal. It can be considered a gift by God, in the sense that if we didn't have pain, we would not know that there was something wrong with our body, mind, or soul. Listen, in my research, Paul reminds us that consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. James 1, 2 through 3. According to James, when we endure painful trials, we can take joy in knowing that God is at work in us to produce endurance and Christ-like character. This applies to mental, it applies to emotional and spiritual pain, as well as the physical. I need you to understand, my brothers and sisters, pain is pain. I don't care if it's physical, I don't care if it's emotional, and I don't care if it's physical. How many of you know what I'm talking about? If you just walk with me a little while, this is going to make sense to you. See, we can't see our ungodliness until we are wounded and broken. And it is during that broken phase that the spiritual healing begins, at the same time the physical healing begins. Listen, we can become so infected or disconnected from God that it takes our woundedness to get our attention. When it becomes all about us and less about God, sometimes we have to be wounded in order to be healed. You see, if I can quote from Kurt Franklin, I like this quote. He said, if the light that's shining on us is brighter than the light that is shining in us, it will destroy us. Can I say that again? If the light that is shining on us is brighter than the light that is shining in us, it will eventually destroy us. When it becomes more about us than Jesus, the glitter and the glamour becomes gloom and doom. Sometimes we have to be wounded in order to be healed. You see, Paul could not see that he was spiritually broken until he was wounded with the affliction of blindness. God had to take him into a dark place for 3 days in order for the healing to begin. He had to be wounded in order to be healed. Amen, somebody. God designed the perfect human anatomy of the body that when it is wounded, it begins to repair itself. You see, wounds repair themselves in stages. The smaller the wound, the quicker the repair. Rest assured that the healing is done only by God. Sometimes all God needs to do is allow a small wound to occur to get our attention back to Him. Listen, it is in the healing process where God speaks to us in our woundedness. Listen, the scripture says that Paul was blinded for 3 days. He was in a dark place. I need you to imagine with me that you find yourself able to see one day, and then while walking on your daily walk, you all of a sudden you lose your sight. It is taken away and you're suddenly in the dark. You have nothing but time now. Let me clarify this thing with time. You see, the old adage that time heals all wounds is not true. I hate to burst someone's bubble, but I don't care how much time passes. There are some wounds emotionally that persist or remain with us today. No matter how much time passes, those wounds of hurt, betrayal, rejection, and let down are still there. They have not gone anywhere. I need y'all to get your pen and paper out because I need you to write this down, because we've been so programmed to believe that time heals all things. But I'm here to tell you, time only hides, deepens, or buries the hurt, but it does not heal it. Do I need to say that again? Time only hides, deepens, or buries the hurt, but it does not heal it. I'm going to preach this today, Good Hope. You see, I have been wounded, but in my woundedness, as the song writer put it, I've been changed, healed, freed, and delivered. But no matter how hard I tried to get healed, mama could not heal me. I need you to know, as hard as I tried to be healed, Pastor Pickett could not heal me. I want you to understand, God allowed me to become broken before He stepped in and healed me. How many of you know what I'm talking about? God allowed you to be wounded, and in your woundedness, you uncovered and discovered your brokenness, your disconnect from the source, which is Christ Jesus. As I said earlier, time only hides, deepens, or buries the hurt, but it does not heal it. I got to reiterate that one more time. Time only hides, deepens, or buries the hurt, but it does not heal it. Now write this down. Only God can heal all wounds. I often say that in this, that doctors can treat the wound, but only God can heal the wound. There's not a doctor or a psychologist in this world that can heal. They can prescribe and assist you in taking the medication or counseling and advice to help you with the symptoms. But until God decides to heal you, it just ain't going to happen. Until God is ready for it to happen, it's just not going to happen. Listen, David knew where his healing came from. He cries out in the Lord in Psalms 30:2. He says, "O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me." David is showing us through the hymn of praise to Jehovah Rapha, God our healer. Too many times when God heals us, we forget to give Him the praise. The psalmist also said in Psalms 147:3, He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds. The psalmist is saying that God heals those whom heart has been broken from the captivity of being held in prison from a bad relationship or family fallout. Now, I know the scripture is talking about those whom were held in captivity and then freed and returned to their native land. But I'm talking in general about God, about a God that will heal a broken heart due to emotional and psychological wounds of a divorce because of infidelity. I'm talking about a God that will heal a broken heart due to emotional and psychological wounds of an abusive marriage or relationship. I'm talking about a God that will heal a broken heart due to that child you raised only to have them turn their back on you, stop speaking to you, telling lies on you and about you. God will heal those wounds of grief. God will heal those wounds of sorrow, hurt, and pain. I'm saying sometimes we have to be wounded in order to be healed. Listen, Saul did not know he was spiritually broken in his rant and raving of Christian women and men. Acts 8 and 3 says, As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering houses and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. You see, Saul did not know that he was spiritually broken when he had Stephen stoned. Acts 7 and 58, and it says, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. It was not until Saul encountered with Jesus that Saul was wounded, afflicted with blindness. Acts 9 and 8 says, then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. Listen, Saul was wounded in his blindness for 3 days. Acts 8, 9 and 9 says that, and he was 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drink. As I meditated on that a minute, I said to myself, I didn't want to miss it, that as I thought about this thing, he was 3 days blinded in the darkness. And I don't know if Saul purposely or unpurposely fasted, but he had a fasting going on. The scripture says that he neither ate nor drink anything for 3 days. He was in a dark place, and sometimes God will allow us to get into a dark place where there are no distractions and where we can fast and focus on him and him alone. You know, we got so many things going on in this world, and our schedules are full, and we just don't take the time to get up and be alone with God. So sometimes God got to take us in a dark place and put us there so it's nobody but him and I. As I process the thought of Saul in his dark place, I see a man who was a non-Christian imprisoning and killing Christians. You see, God intervened, sending Jesus to intercept Saul, wounding him with the loss of his eyesight. Then we find in verse 17 through 20 that God sends Ananias to go and lay hands on him so that he could be healed. The scripture said, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't want you to miss what transpired in verse 17. Jesus, through his Father God, sent the healing through his servant Ananias. You see, listen, the men that were walking with Saul when he was blinded, they led him by the hands into Damascus. What I want you to see is they touched him after he was blinded and there was no healing. Amen, somebody. They walked some distance with him, touching him all along the way into Damascus, but there was no healing. Verse 8 says that then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him in to Damascus. Saul was still wounded. It was not until Jesus sent healing through the touch of one of his servants, Ananias. I need you to understand that sometimes God will just heal us through his omnipotence, meaning all power. He will do it while we're lying there on our sick bed. But there are times that God will send word through his angels or a servant like Ananias as a healing vessel with a word of God, from God. That is what he did by way of his son Jesus, sending Ananias to tell and touch. Jesus sent a word and a healing. Amen, somebody. Jesus sent a word and a healing. He had something to say first, and then the healing came second. He sent a word and a healing. Not only was there a healing physically, but spiritually. Jesus did not have to be in the room physically, but God was there spiritually, as was the Holy Spirit. Verse 18 says, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he rose and was baptized. You see, when Saul came into contact with Jesus, he was already spiritually wounded. Jesus, through the Father, allowed Saul to become physically wounded in order to spiritually heal him. Sometimes we have to be wounded in order to be healed. I'm reminded of an emotional and psychological healing of a family through a boy named Joseph. Genesis tells us the story of a young boy named Joseph who was the knee baby of the family. God showed Joseph favor and revealed upcoming stature in a dream. He told his brothers and his father that they would be bowing down to him. He was a little cocky, but he was still their brother. Amen, somebody. His brother conspired and threw Joseph in a deep hole and then sold him off and then told his father that he was killed by a wild animal. I need you to understand, Joseph was around 17 years old when he started his journey from the pit to the palace. He was in prison. He was falsely accused, stripped of his title, and sent to the deep depth of the prison. I need you to understand that Joseph experienced betrayal and hurt and rejection. He was emotionally wounded by his own brothers. His brothers were morally corrupt in their thinking, in their actions. I ask you today, Good Hope, how many of you had to deal with or dealt with or are dealing with emotional and psychological wounds of betrayal and hurt, rejection by family members, by the very people that said they love you out of one breath and talked about you out the other. I'm just going to preach this thing to you today. I'm here to tell you, psychological wounds of betrayal, hurt, and rejection by family members, loved ones, or even a very close friend. I'm here to tell you they lied on you and stole from you. They cheated on you, talked about you, falsely accused you, and condemned you. How many have been through that or currently going through that? Amen, somebody. But I need you to see how God works here. It took the emotional wounds that were inflicted on Joseph by his brothers that brought about a spiritual healing of the family. Sometimes we got to be the punching bag. We got to be wounded in order to be healed. I know it don't sound all good right now, but God has to use somebody. It took the emotional wounds that were inflicted on Joseph by his brothers that brought about a spiritual healing. You see, the devil tempted, tested, and tried to break Joseph's spirit, but Joseph remained faithful, and he stood with God. I need you to understand, God knows whom to choose to endure the trial, troubles, and tribulations of life. You may be wondering, why me? And I say you shouldn't be wondering, why me? You should be saying, why not me? Because he chose you because he knew what you could handle. Amen, somebody. I said you might be wondering, why me, God? But what you should be asking is, why not me, God? How much more? God knows how much we can endure. I like what 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But listen, but God is faithful. But God is faithful. But God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will always and also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He'll allow you to get in it, but he'll always open a door for you to go out of it. You just got to be ready to step through it. Amen, somebody. Listen, my brothers and sisters. I told you I'm going to preach this thing today. Listen, I'm reminded of a man named Job who suffered both emotional and physical wounds of his mind, body, and soul. Job suffered both emotional and physical wounds. Some of you right now going through some emotional and physical wounds. And God just told me to remind you that God can heal all wounds. You've been looking to the wrong people. I know you've been going to Sister Stevens for your counseling, and you need to go there, but you got to go to God first if you want to be completely healed. I know you've been going to see Sister Owasu and the doctors down at Lakeland Regional and Watson Clinic, but if you don't go to God first, you're going to keep on going like the woman with the issue of blood. But listen, I'm reminded, Job suffered both emotional and physical wounds. The scripture tells us in Job 1:13-22 and Job 2:4-7 that Job lost his sons and his daughters. That's some of y'all out there who know that feeling. Some of your mothers that are lost, your children. He lost them tragically. He lost all of his servants and his livestock. Job was going through an emotional wounding of his mind, heart, and soul. Job shows us on how to respond when we are wounded emotionally. Job chapter 1 verse 20 through 23 says that then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground. And you know what he did when he fell to the ground? He worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you want to mess the devil up in the midst of your trials and your struggles and your emotional turmoil, you just fall down on your knees and you tell him, blessed be the name of the Lord. And the more he dumps on you, you go, blessed be the name of the Lord. So it's so important, my brothers and sisters, that we understand that sometimes we have to be wounded in order to be healed. Listen, after the devil could not break Job's will and worship emotionally, he went back to God, and God gave him permission to attack his health. So we find in chapter 2 that when Satan could not break him emotionally, he tried to break him physically. Job 2 verse 4 through 7 says that, so Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bones and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hands, but spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to excrete himself while he sat in the middle of the ashes. Verse 9 through 10 reminds us, then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. And I like this. This is the boldness. Satan didn't understand what Job said next. He said, shall we indeed accept the good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? If you want to mess the devil up, when you find yourself in the midst of your adversity and he just wants you to go out and curse God, you just tell him, just like Job, should I accept the good and not the bad? And then I like how Paul puts it, even in his state, Paul said to live is Christ and to die is gain. I need you to know, as long as we know where we're going from here, it's nothing we can't endure. Listen, the devil messed with his mind but could not break Job's connection with God. The devil messed with his health but could not break Job's connection and commitment to God. I need you to know, I want to leave you with these two things as I get ready to take my seat here in a little bit. I wanted to leave you with these two things. These two things are connection and commitment. You want to write those down, connection and commitment. Listen, Saul did not have a connection or a commitment with God, but Paul did. Did you get that? Saul did not have a connection or a commitment, but after his Damascus Road experience, he became connected through God, to God through Jesus. He had that connection, and then he became committed to the calling. I don't know about you, but the scripture tells me that he wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, and he showed his trials and his tribulations of what he was willing to go through for God. So listen, he didn't have the connection as Saul, but he got it as Paul. Amen, somebody. He was the same man physically. He was the same man physically, but a changed man spiritually. Listen, just like us, people still see the Rick James body without the hair, but they don't. I know y'all like that. Amen, somebody. They still see the Rick James body without the hair, but just listen. But they also see Associate Pastor Stevens calling. Amen, somebody. The body's just a little older. I'm the same kid that I was back in 1980 and 81 in high school, but I have put on a new spirit, and that's the spirit of Christ. I don't do the old things I used to do. When we are connected to God by way of Jesus Christ, we have a commitment to sustain, maintain, and remain faithful and loyal to his word, his will, and his way. I need you to understand that when we are connected to God by way of Jesus Christ, we have a commitment to sustain, maintain, and remain faithful and loyal to his word, his will, and his way. Listen, Job showed us that we have to be ready to accept the good and the bad. Job showed us that we are servants for the Lord. If I could just talk to you just for a few minutes. You're getting married and everything is good. The minute a little bad comes, you ready to abandon the marriage. Marriage, just like everything else, going to take some work. You got to be ready to, it's willing to take the good with the bad. Amen, somebody. All right. So here we go. We are servants first. God has to allow us to be reminded that our physical and even emotional wounds, we must maintain our connectedness and commitment to him. We are here for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to glorify God in our worship, in our praise, and in our service. We are servants first. I need you to understand the three that I just talked to you about. Paul was a servant. Job was a servant. Joseph was a servant. I'm reminded of a servant that scripture tells us that this servant was the King of kings and Lord of lords, but he came down as a servant. Listen, he did not come to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for mankind. Matthew 20:8 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Listen, I'm reminded of that man that came down that 2,000 years ago. I'm reminded in the Old Testament of Isaiah 53:5. It says that this man was wounded for our transgressions. Sometimes you got to be wounded in order to be healed. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. Now, I don't want you to miss this, and it says, and by his stripes, not by our stripes, but by his stripes, we are healed. I'm talking about a connection and a commitment by the ultimate servant. He was wounded for our transgressions. I don't want you to miss it. It does not say he was wounded for his transgressions because he don't have any. But this old evil and sin-dying world was full and is still full of sin and transgressions. He was wounded physically, meaning there was a piercing and a tearing of the flesh. I don't want you to miss that. What I need you to understand is that this servant not only suffered with us, but he suffered for us. Amen, somebody. He not only suffered with us, but he suffered for us.